Guys, it's another episode of the Lapka and Tie podcast here with your host, Kevin Lapka. Here with a special guest today, my guy Nathan Grant is in the studio recording. How we doing, Nate?
What up, guys? How we rocking today?
Hey, we're rocking good, my man. Nate here, big basketball guy, really funny. He's a comedian. He does some stuff around the city. So he'll bring a lot of laughs, a lot of fun, opinions and stuff. We're going to talk about plenty of things, mostly on the NBA side. We're going to start, obviously, with some of these playoff results, recap a few of the series that occurred in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference, talk about a few of the antics that we saw on the sideline, whether it was from Drake or from whoever. We will get into that and a few other things that have been trending. But we're going to start with the most relevant thing, which is the end of that Toronto versus Milwaukee series. Toronto wins 4-2. They win the game 6-194. Hell of a game by Kawhi, as he has been unreal pretty much all throughout the whole series. So we'll get into it right away, I guess. This was kind of surprising to me because the Bucks went up 2-0 in this series. Mm-hmm. So I believe the Raptors were like the first team since Oklahoma City who beat San Antonio in 6 games in 2012. That's his team. He's a big OKC, KD OKC fan. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But I know you weren't able to watch the whole series, but you got a little bit of a recap in there. You have some opinions on it. The Raptors, the Bucks, what did you think about this series? What did the Bucks do wrong? What did the Raptors do right?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I think, like, Giannis, like, he's so good in, like, the pain and stuff, but I don't know what happened this time. Like, I guess Kawhi, he was too clutch, like.
Well, I mean, I think that's a big thing. Kawhi guarding Giannis, you know, he's obviously not going to be able to put up 45 points a game when you got the guy that nicknamed the Claw. Yeah, one of the best defenders in the league. Mm-hmm. And that first game when Brook Lopez went off, like, I think that was the biggest thing, too. They needed more clutch performers from their other guys, because at the time for this series, Giannis wasn't carrying the team. So they needed, whether it was Middleton, whether it was Lopez again, whether it was, I don't know, Mirotic or somebody like that, to have a nice 20-30-point game, and they just really didn't get that. So for the Raptors, who do you think is the more clutch player for them going forward? Is it Kyle Lowry or Pascal Siakam? Because they're two players who are big impact players, and I know people have their opinions on Kyle Lowry because he's been kind of a bum. He stepped it up this series, and even Fred VanVleet, your friend. That's your guy. Those three players kind of had an impact, big impact in this series. Which one do you think is going to be the most important for them going forward?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to need Kyle Lowry to step it up, because previously in like the playoffs too, like he would be good all the season and then he's just clanking them in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
But like, I know, like, Siakam's, like, even though I feel like he slept on, but like,
oh yeah,
he's like a really solid,
he's
like
a very solid player. Yeah. He hit the clutch free throws to pretty much ice the game against the Bucks. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too.
The game. You don't even see a little voice crack.
Oh my God. Yeah, I do that crap all the time. But yeah, so the thing about the Raptors though is, like, even if Kyle Lowry does shoot 0 for 14 like he has before and collects 2 points in a game, you don't really have to be that worried, because you know Kawhi's going to win 35. Right. I mean, he broke the franchise record for 35-point games in playoff history for the Raptors. And he's played 13 games in the playoffs. This is his first year. I mean, that's absurd. And, you know, there's people raising all these questions about whether he's better than Kobe, and that's a conversation we'll get into later. But now, pretty much the second biggest storyline coming from the Eastern Conference Finals isn't even the game itself. It's about someone on the sidelines named Drake, Mr. OVO.
Drake?
Little soldier boy. Drake? So Drake, has been a little bit of crazy on the sidelines, people like to say. I don't have a problem with it. I don't know if Nate has a problem with it. What do you think about all of his antics on the sideline? We saw him rubbing the shoulders of Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Raptors. Jumping up and down and yelling at Giannis. But we've seen things like this before from Spike Lee and a few other celebrities who have been president.
Was it Reggie Miller? Who was on the Pacers, that shooter?
I think it was Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller. Like, he's doing that back. But, it's part of the game. Like, it's a part of the culture. And plus, like, I think people forget, like, these players make millions and millions of dollars. Exactly. So to even be, like, phased or sidetracked, like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's definitely, like, you just gotta play the game.
You just gotta play. I mean,
like, but it's fun.
You're really gonna. I think it's funny, and I think it adds to, you know, the societal part of the game as well. You know, the culture part of it. For people who don't watch basketball, for people who don't follow sports in general, for them to see that, like, that's pretty cool. And that's, like, connecting people outside of the sports world into the sports world. I think that's why it's pretty cool as well. But I don't have a problem with it at all. Like you mentioned,
it's John, also,
you really, if, yeah.
I've been on both sides, too, because, like, I played in high school.
Yeah.
And, like, but, like, I only played the first 2 years, but, like, I don't know. Like, it's just part of the culture because I've been on the sidelines and it's just so fun to talk smack. And it's just it's a like another element. It's just all part of like the culture. Like, it's just another element that adds to the whole experience.
And I don't, you know, Giannis never came out and was like, oh, this is really annoying me. No one, no teammate came out or no player came out.
Right.
It was just the coach.
They have to deal. Like, I mean, it's Drake, but like, there's definitely like drunk people just on the sidelines
saying random stuff that at every game. You know, that's the unique thing about basketball is in no other sport, you're like 50 feet away from the sideline. In football, no courtside in football. In hockey, there's like, I mean, I guess in hockey, but you're protected
but
by
it's
the glass.
You just see
And you then, you know, soccer, you're super far away. And but basketball, your foot, you know, centimeters away from the court.
Right.
So it's definitely unique and it's different. But again, if you have, like, the mind of a champion or whatever, you don't let that. You don't get fazed by that, especially when it's Drake and you know it's just him, you know, trying to make a scene, you know, because that's what he does.
True.
And I thought when he said, he came out after game five and was like, we just went up 3-2, we're going to win the finals.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to curse some dude because the Drake curse has been, you know, very relevant. It's like some clear evidence that the Drake curse is real, but I think it might be broken now. The Raptors made the finals. Is the Drake curse broken?
I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, they have a tough matchup with Golden State.
All right, Warriors, so we'll get into that right now. We're going to do a little bit of a finals preview. So obviously, as we know, the Warriors easily swept the Trailblazers there in the Western Conference with ease again without Kevin Durant. So that sets up the finals matchup of Raptors versus Warriors. A pretty cool finals matchup. I think it's just cool because you got a superstar over there with the Raptors, and then you got multiple superstars, obviously Steph, Clay, KD, even Draymond, if you would like to consider him a superstar. But so we have these two teams here. Toronto never been in the finals before. Warriors now making their fifth straight finals appearance. So you have
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, like, I mean, it is crazy. It is ridiculous. So
five.
What do you see from this finals matchup? Any predictions? Any quick tidbits? Anything you got for us here?
I mean, it's gonna be interesting because I think the Warriors are gonna. They'll probably force the Raptors to speed up their game because the Warriors just play. It's just extremely like fast pace at threes. So the Raptors, I don't know, like if they're going to have to stay into it, they're going to have to keep on playing their game and not be fazed by like the pace and stuff. But I mean, the Raptors, they have, I don't know, like, so Kawhi is, like, a great defender, and they have length and stuff, so I think that's a plus on their side, because I feel like they'll be able to, they might have a chance of slowing down the Warriors, but it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the thing, the Raptors really aren't necessarily a high-scoring team, and their forte, again, is holding the other team to low amount of points and then just getting by with, you know, 112, 110, whatever they need to get by with. So that could be a matchup problem. Whereas, you know, when you have Kawhi defending Steph, you know, almost sometimes you can't even defend Steph to the point where he just throws the ball up and it goes in. But you got Klay, who's going to defend him? I don't know who's necessarily going to defend him. But that's the crazy thing about them is they have so many weapons all around the court that they can just attack from anywhere. But the one guy that they don't have right now is Kevin Durant.
Snake. He's a
Nate has a lot of opinions about Kevin Durant. He was a huge KD fan in OKC. He had his jersey.
I still have his jersey.
He hasn't burned it yet. No. Oh, my God. You would get shunned if you wore it out, I think. But, so, I don't know what the timetable is for KD. I think he's definitely missing game one. He may be back for games two, three, or four, though, is what they're saying.
Really?
But, yeah. But the thing is, you know, I here's what I think. I think he could come back game two, game three if he wanted to. I think he could play through a little bit of an injury.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, why? You know, they cruised past the Trailblazers without him. You know, they pretty much didn't need him for this series at all. So if they go and they win game one by like 10 or 15 points, he might be saying, You know, or they, the team might be saying, we don't even need him. You know, like, why yeah. why hurry to bring him back if we need him maybe later for 5, 6, and 7 for those games? But do you think they should rush him back? Do you think for him and his future, as far as, you know, free agency, he's going to be signing a big contract, a big injury could hurt that. Do you think he should rush himself back? Do you think that's necessary for these finals?
Well, I think I saw something saying that he would... Well, it might be outdated, but it was saying, like, he would only come back, like, if they needed it in the finals.
So maybe if they were at a deficit down 3-2 right. or something like that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is already kind of hard to see.
Yeah.
What were you saying again?
Just, like, so now we talk about his future, okay? Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about his legacy a little bit, too. So, obviously, KD won 2 straight finals MVP. Or not 2 straight, but he won finals MVP. Was it 2 straight? I believe it was 2 straight, 2017, 2018, 2 straight finals MVPs, I believe was.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, he did those, and, you know, but now the Warriors are 5-0 here without Kevin Durant in these last 5 games. So now there's people actually raising the question, did they ever need KD? Is he really that big of a help? And that's kind of, you know, hurting his legacy. People think it's hurting his legacy because people thought that, obviously, the Warriors were good before KD, but when he came, it was like they were Thanos. It's like they had all the Infinity Stones. It's like they were unstoppable.
The
rest of the teams were gone. That's exactly what it was. But now it's like, maybe they didn't need KD to beat the Cavaliers the past 2 years. Maybe they didn't. So do you think that hurts his legacy? Do you think they ever really needed KD? Or
I mean, who really thought that they needed KD? I mean, the Warriors were...
The best team in basketball, yeah. 73-9 without KD.
Yeah, it's just really a matter of, like, it just shifts, like, which player they want to utilize the most. But, like, with the Warriors, it's like, without KD, then it's like, you might get, like, that... prime Curry back when he was dropping like 40, 50 and just like bombing it, but because they have like so many options. But I don't know. Like, I feel like after this, no matter what happens this finals, I don't know. I feel like the Warriors, I feel like their squad might split up this.
Because Klay's going to be a free agent.
Right.
KD's going to be a free agent.
Uh-huh.
But
right, because KD already got his rings, got his championships in.
He can do what he wants. He can go for the money now because clearly the move to Golden State was a championship choice. Uh-huh. It was a, you know, a legacy choice from that point.
Something Russell Westbrook would never do because he's not a snake. But
okay. Russell Westbrook is one of Nate's favorite players.
He's my favorite player.
It is his favorite. So, KD's future, again, free agency. And the interesting thing about the Warriors in general is this is actually cool, too. Klay Thompson missed out on the All-NBA teams. He didn't get first team, second team, or third team. So he missed out on $30 million because if he had made an All-NBA team, he'd be able to get a Supermax deal, which is like $220 million.
Right.
But now he's only available for like max of $190 million or something. But ultimately, dude, he got $190 million. Is the extra $30 going to mean that much? If he came out and said, I'd rather win a championship than be third team All-NBA anyway, and that's something I would agree with, too. You know, who really cares at the end of the day? If you won 3 straight championships, if you've got, you know, he'd have 4 rings at this point if he won, if they win. So I don't think that's that big of a deal, but this certainly could be the end of the Warriors' reign, possibly, because I think if they lose KD, I think if they lose Klay, I don't know if Steph, and they're going to lose DeMarcus too, I would assume, I think he's on a one-year deal, right? Mm-hmm. So if they lose them three, it's going to be Steph and Draymond and Andre Iguodala. That's not going to be a team that's going to be winning 65 games a year going to the finals consistently. So cherish this team while we have it, because who knows if it will be there next year.
No, I'm actually, I'm kind of excited if they split up, because like what we've seen this year is that like more and more teams, it's getting more competitive, like
more balanced.
Right, it's more balanced because I mean they're still what it is, their 5th straight. But like I feel like everything is leveling out in the NBA, like but it hasn't before. Like it was only a couple teams that are in consideration, but definitely if like KD leaves and like Cousins leaves, like who knows where they're going, but there's some teams like that they could head to, and it could just really make the league much more competitive and, I don't know, more exciting for...
Because the past 3 years has been like the super team age, quote-unquote, is what people are calling it. You got all the super teams. You had LeBron's Cavaliers, which were considered a super team with Kyrie a few years ago, and then the Warriors, obviously, were a super team, and it was always like, you knew, because for 4 years straight there, it was Warriors and Cavaliers in the finals. And before the season even started, you knew it was going to be Warriors and Cavaliers in the finals. And before this season started, you said no Trailblazers, no Nuggets, no Spurs, no no one. You know it's going to be the Warriors. And it was an easy bet. It wasn't even going to be close between anyone, and that was evident. Obviously, the Rockets put up a run for their money, but in the end, it was going to be the Warriors all along. So I think if they lose, even if they lose KD and if they keep Klay, I think that would still even it out a little bit, too. And obviously, the Eastern Conference, I think, is very even. It's not like anyone really, you know, the one seed lost to the Raptors. 76ers were up there in contention. They took it hard to the Raptors as well. So I think that's great for the league, that it's going to be more balanced. I like how you mentioned that, too. So now we're going to get to a few predictions, just bold predictions for the series. I'll go first. I think this series is going to go to 7 games because I think... Look, the last time the Warriors had a lot of trouble, not a lot of trouble, but the last time they were kind of looking dangerous was against the Spurs. And the only reason they were looking dangerous is because it was game one. They were down by 20 in the third quarter. But in that game, Kawhi went down with an ankle injury. He left, missed the whole series. The Warriors ended up sweeping the Spurs. But while Kawhi was in, they were down 20 in that series. So I think Kawhi is going to be able to give them a run for their money. And I think this is ultimately why I think the Warriors will need KD back, is because I don't know if Steph can match up with Kawhi. I think the only person that can match up with him is KD. So I think they're going to need KD back. I think it's going to go to game 7. It's going to be an awesome series. But the Raptors are 100% going to need to have big-time games from Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, everyone. They're going to need a full team effort, because even if Kawhi puts up 35 points like he has, where are those other 80 points going to come from? You know what I mean? Because I'm suspecting they're going to have to score a lot of points to beat this Warriors team. So I got Warriors in 7.
I think it's going to be Warriors in 6, just because, like, the fact that you brought up, it, like, if KD comes back in,
it's over.
I feel like, yeah, it's, like, over, because, I don't know, they're just, like, such an offensive, just, like, powerhouse. I don't think, like, the Raptors will have to be on their A game, like, every, like, they need a, like you were saying, a full team effort, but I really don't see, like,
Kyle Lowry stepping up. You don't see any of those guys stepping up big time?
I see them stepping up, but I feel like even if they were to lose a couple, like, the Warriors were to lose a couple games, they pull out KD, and then it's like, it's just like, it's like the Trump card. Like, it's just like, boom, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's like your secret weapon that you're holding back until you need it. Right. And then you need it, you're like, boom, bow, here KD, we go.
Bow, snakes.
Yeah, exactly. Snake. It's just like, boom, you got it. So, yeah, I think, so now we look at NBA Finals MVP odds. This is for the odds for winning Finals MVP. You got Steph -150, so the big favorite. Kawhi +200, Draymond +900, Klay +900, and then KD at +1800, because who knows how many games he's going to play, and then Siakam at +3,000 and Lowry +3,000. So if you had to make a bet on any of these people winning Finals MVP, who would it be? Would you go with the favorite Steph, or would you go with Kawhi or somebody else?
That's a tough one, because it really depends on... Because it's Finals MVP, you have to win, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
I think maybe it's only happened like one or two times where the loser has won Finals MVP, but it's 99% of the time the winner.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it will be a good competitive series, to the point where it's like multiple people are just like, no one's going to have like stand out like that, like prominently. Yeah. But like, if I had to, I'd probably say Steph. Steph might go off.
I think he's going to need to go off to get past Kawhi. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An interesting scenario here. Let's say the Warriors go down 2-0, go down 2-1, and then KD comes back, leads them to 3 straight wins or 4 straight wins, and they win the series. Would he win Finals MVP in that scenario? Although he would only have played 4 out of 6 or 7 games.
I feel probably, because, like, to come out the deficit. Yeah.
And then show, like,
right,
oh, y'all really needed me in the end.
Right, yeah. That's so. Probably exactly... Man, that's probably exactly what he wants in his head, too.
Oh, my God.
He's like, that's why he left. He was like, I'm going to leave. And he just wants to, like, because that's his whole point in leaving. He wants to, like, show off that, like, he is that guy. So
But that's the thing, is it backfired him. It backfired on him against the Trailblazers because it's almost like, no, you weren't that guy. We didn't need you anyway for that 4-game series. That's true. But again, maybe the Blazers really weren't, even without KD, I didn't see them winning. But in this series.
And I wanted the Blazers to win because they clapped my team in the first round. Because the Blazers,
they clapped him. That's right. Yeah. It was not even close.
Lillard.
He hit that buzzer beater in that round too, I believe.
He was just pulling them from deep, but that
could play right into exactly what KD wants if they go down and he comes back.
But if that happens, then I feel like if he were to come back, like they were down and he were to bring them back and win MVP, then I'd say he's definitely not staying, because I feel like that would be like he'd complete his mission. And,
yeah.
The so, Warriors, yeah. And maybe, I don't know, go maybe we can get him back in OKC, get some fun going on there.
Do you think that's an actual possibility?
I actually do think it's a possibility, just because, who do we have right now? Like, of course, Russell Westbrook, he's never going to win, but Paul George, imagine KD, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and then we got some, like, good, solid, like... Stephen Adams,
great player. Enes Kanter, is he still?
He's on the Trailblazers. But even we have what's his name? Schroeder.
You got Schroeder from the Hawks.
Considering that, like, Cousins and other players, Anthony Davis, are going to free agency. I don't know. Maybe I'm just hopeful.
I
need Russell Westbrook to get a ring one time.
So 2 years ago, I predicted that this was going to happen. I predicted that KD would ultimately go back to OKC and win a championship there. But the question is, after all the hate that he got, would OKC even welcome him back? Would they even welcome him back with open arms and say, here, we want you now? Or would they just be like, screw you, you had your time, you made this decision, you don't get to come back? Would that be a welcoming, and honestly, that could come from the front office. If he wants to sign a big time, who knows if they would even offer him a contract? Mm-hmm. That could be their opinion, but what do you think they would do? Would they be welcoming to that?
Well, people are dumb, so like, if he were to come back, I know for the first however many games he'd get booed. Yeah. It would be he probably need extra arm security just for his safety. And he still need that brush for his hair. I don't know what's going on up top there. But no, like, if he were to come back, like, people would definitely boo. But then if they were to start winning, like, I don't know, fans are just like, they'll switch right away. Like, if they started winning again, they would be like, yeah. Like, I don't know.
I agree.
People really want is like
a winning team.
So, but like, he definitely wouldn't in the beginning of the season. It would definitely be a interesting one and great for the media.
Sports Center is waiting for that to happen. Right. They're begging on their knees that he would go back. I mean, that would draw so much freaking attention.
I think it's gonna happen because
you're all predicting it's gonna happen. Okay,
the NBA is like a entertainment business, 100%.
I mean, why do you think, again, I think Drake doing that contributes a lot to it as well. He's making headlines just by waving his arms on the sidelines. So that's definitely a big part of it. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and what happens in this series, see how close KD is to returning. But now we're going to talk about the other guy on the other team, pretty prominent guy, Kawhi Leonard, who's obviously had
the claw
has unreal performance in these playoffs. Probably the playoffs, if there was such a thing as playoffs MVP, he would be the MVP of the whole playoffs. There's been this question lurking in the past few weeks. It was raised by Max Kellerman on First Take. He said Kawhi is more clutch than Kobe, and about 2 weeks ago, people called him outrageous. But, I mean, look what he's been doing. Is that a legit... Like, could you really make the case that Kawhi is more clutch than Kobe? I know Stephen A. Smith, or one of those guys, asked Max Kellerman to name those moments. Mm-hmm. I can't name any moments because I was pretty young when Kobe was in his prime. I can't name any of the buzz beaters, any of the clutch shots that he hit. But as far as, what Kawhi has done here in his first year is the Raptors, what he did with the Spurs. And Kobe obviously had a great supporting cast around him for some years with Shaq and a few of those other guys. But is he more clutch than Kobe? Do you have an answer to that, or is that just kind of an open-ended question?
No, I have an answer.
Okay.
I have an answer, and the answer is yes.
Wow.
And that's because I don't remember a while ago, I was watching something, and, like, I was watching, like, all of Kobe's, like, clutch, like, moments and stuff. Yeah. But, like, percentage-wise, I feel like Kobe, I was watching something where, like, Kobe's missed a lot of game winners. Like, he's missed a lot of game winners.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the moments that he did perform, like, it was, like, really highlighted and emphasized. But I feel like percentage-wise, and if you look at what Kawhi did for each team, I feel like he was more clutch. I feel like he was more clutch.
Because I think here's the thing that people get confused about when people use the word clutch. People think that, like, oh, they think it only means game winners. They think it only means shots in the last minute of the game. That's not necessarily what it means.
Right.
It can just basically mean, like, playoff performance in general.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, like you said, Kobe has those moments, obviously, where he hits the clutch shots.
But how many
throughout
shots
a series, if his percentage is relatively low, is that being clutch or not? And that's where I think you could definitely make the case for Kawhi, because I think the biggest thing for him is consistency.
Right.
I mean, Kobe has had his high points where he's been scoring 40 in playoffs, but he's had his lowest points where he hasn't.
Yeah.
He didn't have his greatest performances, but Kawhi, throughout his career, every time he's been in the playoffs, he showed up, and he's done a fantastic job. So I think that's where that, you know, conversation could definitely be geared towards Kawhi. But people just get confused about that phrase because they think clutch. They think,
right,
oh, who has
game
more buzzer beaters?
Yeah.
That's the only thing they think about. So,
and you got to think about the play style, too. Like, think about, like, when Kobe's winning, like, he's winning, but he's taking all the shots.
Yeah, he's taking, like,
so
40,
when he's off, he's off, but he was still shooting.
Exactly.
Like you got to consider clutch. Like, I feel like Kobe has, like, yeah, he helped his team win in some cases, but, like, I don't know. Like, Kawhi's consistency is definitely, I think, makes him the clutch player.
And then you also have to take it,
because he's taking them, Kobe's taking them out of games.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Kawhi's never done that.
Yeah.
He's never,
like,
done that.
Right.
That's a great point. And I think people also need to realize clutch could also mean the defensive side of the ball. It doesn't necessarily mean offense. I mean, how many times have we seen Kawhi get clutch steals, clutch rebounds, and the, like, he got the great
big
clutch rebound
hand
in the end of the
big
hands. It's because of the claw. I call him the claw for a reason, but he got a huge rebound at the end of that Bucks game, game six, to basically ice the game, because if the Bucks had gotten that rebound, they could possibly have kept it in with a three or something. But steals, defense,
right, all
how
around
many,
I wasn't,
know,
even thinking
exactly
about that.
He's an all around player.
Because you also, when people think, yeah, you were saying people think clutch, they think the, like, buzzer beater, game winner, but you can get clutch rebounds, like clutch steals, like that keep your get your team the win at the end. Like, it's, I definitely say, because Kawhi, just because of his size and just his defense and just all around play, just, I think he's, yeah, I definitely say he's a more clutch player.
Because, yeah, overall, all factors considered, all things considered, I would agree with, I would say it's more clutch, because, again, it's not just a count of buzzer beaters. There's a lot more to it. So that will obviously be a conversation that will be continued as these finals begin. But one more thing about Kawhi before I move on. The odds to sign Kawhi Leonard here, this is free agency. He's going to be a free agent. They're Clippers minus 200, so they're the favorite. People are thinking he's going to go to the Clippers. Raptors plus 125, Knicks plus 280, Warriors plus 320, which I don't even want to think about, and then Lakers plus 900. But, so obviously the Clippers here are the favorite at minus 200, but now that they've made the finals, there's almost like a sense of loyalty now between him and Toronto. Do you think this finals berth makes the Raptors more of a favorite for him to return to them, or do you think he's most definitely going to be out of Toronto at the end of the year?
I don't know, because Kawhi is a real hard person to read, too.
Right, he's not giving off anything.
But, like, I feel like Kawhi's the type of person, if they, even just him making the finals, he's like, no, I could definitely win with the Raptors.
Yeah.
Like, and then it's just kind of up to, I mean, the Raptors have a solid squad, but, like, also it's free agency. They might be able to do some things, pick up, like, that one piece. And it doesn't even have to be a star player. It can be that one piece that sets them straight
to a championship.
Yeah,
win. Yeah,
especially if the players on the Warriors leave. Then it's like, you got to consider all those things. Like, if they leave and then the Raptors pick up that player, like, I feel like he'll stay.
Okay, so you're thinking he's going to stay, and I think he should stay as well. Again, for everything that he's done for Toronto in his first year, again, if they don't win this series, that you can already tell that their team might need one more piece to it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, one more clutch player, one more. Because I don't know if Kyle Lowry, geez, I can never say this dude's name. And Pascal Siakam,
he's shorter than me.
Kyle Lowry, he's shorter than me as well. But you can already tell that they might need one more piece. So maybe he'll stick around. Maybe he'll go. The Clippers, I think, would be a good option just because they have a talented roster. They have a Warriors run for their money. And if they add him, they're definitely a legit threat in the West. But I think a big thing to consider is if Klay and KD stay in the West, Kawhi is not just going to say, I'm going to go try to compete against that.
Right.
Whereas East, he might be a lock to make the finals.
Right.
Whereas in the West, you know you have to get through the Warriors just to even get to the finals. Mm-hmm. And you have to get through possibly the Rockets, who are obviously a very tough team. And I think the West overall is just a little bit more talented. But
Kawhi's staying.
Yeah, after all he's done, he would have no reason to go. I think Kawhi's a loyal guy. He seems like a great person in general. So
he's probably going to stay. He might get a ring, and then you're going to see him laugh and do that. You know that laugh. I love that laugh. I need to put that as my ringtone.
Oh my god, that would be hilarious, dude. That every time I see that video, it's circling around the internet. It's just absolutely hilarious. And there's that one meme of him smiling like he's all
right.
He's got the weird smile.
Kawhi's funny.
He's such a funny dude. So that wraps it up there for finals. So you have the Warriors winning.
I do have the Warriors winning.
That's right. All right, so we're going to move on now. A little bit of other NBA talk. So this is a question that I've been kind of bringing around to people, and I'm going to kind of change the question a little bit. Originally, it was who's closer to the playoffs, the Bulls or the Lakers, which when you first hear that, you're probably thinking me to walk out the room and never do this podcast again because it's kind of a dumb question. But maybe I should change it closer to a championship because I think the question closer to the playoffs is obviously the Lakers. But when you think about closer to a championship, take into consideration the Warriors in the West, take into consideration the Rockets, how good they are, whereas the East, not as great, and maybe in a few years the Bulls will have a chance at that. So who's closer to a championship, the Bulls or the Lakers? I'll start with you, Nate. Go ahead.
That's a tough one. Especially the way that you put it, because the Lakers do have to go through some powerhouses.
Exactly.
But it really depends on what happens at the free agency. Because, like, we got to not forget that LeBron James is on the team. And so, like, if you pair him, I feel like he just wasn't paired with the correct pieces. But, like, I don't know. But then if you think about the Bulls, too, they just need to get things together. And they could make a better run in the East because the East is more, like, balanced, everything. It's more balanced. So I don't know. That's a tough one, but it really depends on free agency. But, yes.
And that's the big problem is because the Bulls for years, like, they're basically the tale of the past 10 years of Chicago.
Horrible.
They can free never agency. Get a free agent.
It's horrible.
The third largest market in the NBA, the third, like, most, you know, highly valued franchise in the NBA, mm-hmm. and you can't get a freaking free agent. And, like, look who's out there. Yeah. KD, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie. Uh-huh. All these guys should be the Bulls should be up there for destinations for these guys, and they're not anywhere near it. But, you know, who knows? Maybe one of those guys will make that move. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you in all things considered, going to Chicago is awesome. You're playing in, you know, one of the greatest basketball franchises in history with obviously the Jordan years and everything, and you're playing for, I guess, a pretty storied franchise, a pretty awesome franchise here in Chicago, but you have to go through Gar Paxton and Jerry Reinsdorf.
Right, but who's like, sorry to throw us off track, but who's like, Mommy, Zach LaVine's my favorite player. Mommy, Chris Dunn's my favorite player. You know who's a good player? Robin Lopez. I don't know. The Bulls cracking me up. Like, they just have an interesting kind of collective
roster. But
Mommy, I like Felicio.
Felicio! You know what? Someone said he looks like Shrek.
Felicio's probably my favorite. Is he on the Bulls still?
Yeah, he's on the Bulls.
Oh, I did see him play. He went off when I saw him play, too.
Like, for what, like 6 points? Rebound or something?
True, yeah. He probably had
The actual interesting thing about the Bulls is if you actually look at their roster, I can't stop laughing now. Wendell Carter Jr., we think is going to be a pretty decent player. We know Lauri Markkanen's a rising star. Chris Dunn, He's actually kind of a bum. Zach LaVine is an all-star, in my opinion. Otto Porter Jr. actually showed a lot of promise in those last few games. So, their draft pick, I don't expect a lot from that. But I think they're going to go out and get D-Rose. So, let's say they do that. And then there was actually a report of Jimmy Butler having dinner with the coach of the Bulls, Jim Boylan. If you bring back Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, so then you got Zach LaVine, Robert Lopez, Lauri Markkanen, Jimmy Butler, and D-Rose as your starting five. That's a playoff roster, in my opinion. It's not a championship roster, but that's a playoff roster. And then maybe in a few years, you'll get a few pieces for a championship. That's why I say that. And the thing is, you can't give the Lakers too much time because I know everyone loves LeBron, and LeBron's a good player. He's not getting younger. He's not even the best player in the league right now. He's not even the top three player in the league. I got Kawhi, KD, and stuff over LeBron right now.
Right, yeah, so that's true.
I think they need to make something happen right now if you're the Lakers.
With that squad that you're mentioning, the Bulls especially, because I also think people look at the names too much, but, like, look at the Nets this year.
Yeah, well, the Nets, right?
They don't have, like, I mean, D'Lo,
Chris LeVert,
but, like, they don't have those, like,
big time
names, but those people play well together.
Exactly.
And with the Rock, 100%. the people that you were mentioning, like, I don't know, the Bulls, maybe looking up for them.
Because there's a chance the Lakers miss out on pretty much every free agent. I mean, there's talks, obviously, about Kyrie going to New York. There's talks about KD going to New York. There's talks about Kawhi. Probably Kawhi's not going to go to the Lakers. Probably going to stay with the Raptors. If those three guys don't come, I don't see anyone else coming to the Lakers making a big-time impact. Yeah. Maybe Jimmy Butler, because I heard LeBron is trying to get him to come there. But I got an email.
They don't need Jimmy Butler.
I don't know.
Here's the
free agents that we're looking at right here. Number one is obviously KD. Number two, Kawhi. We think both of those guys aren't going to go to the Lakers. Number three is Kyrie. He might go to New York. Number four, Kemba Walker, who's an unrestricted free agent.
He slept on.
What if he goes to the Bulls? You know, you never really know.
Ooh, I like that.
Klay Thompson, he might go to the Bulls. I don't know. So,
Nah, you're talking crazy.
Yeah. Nah. Why not?
Klay Thompson not going to the Bulls.
He's going to stay with the Warriors.
He's going to... Nah, if he switches, he's going to a team that's... I don't know. Because he's a shooter. But, like, I don't know.
We'll see.
Anyways, yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. But I like that question because right off the bat, everyone just says Lakers because of LeBron. But when you really look into the roster, when you really look into the possibilities of free agency, you could put the Bulls up there, especially with all things considered. We're going to move on now. A few more topics we have to talk about before we wrap up the show. Former defensive end Chris Long retired from the NFL about a week ago. Won a Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Eagles. Really good player. Probably might be a Hall of Famer. Might be, but... He actually, in an interview, like, unconsciously admitted to smoking weed during his whole career.
Stay off the weed!
He admitted to that, doing that throughout his career. So now he's, he unconsciously admitted it.
Right.
But now he's kind of, like, taking this stance, like, you know what? It was good for my body.
Right.
It's clearly been good for other people's bodies as well.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this has been a question that's been raised for years now, whether it should be destigmatized in the NFL, whether it should be less harsh of a rule and a policy against it. So I ask you, now that this is kind of coming out, you can almost obviously tell that there's more players.
There's so many players who aren't getting caught, who are doing it,
smoking the weed. So... Do you think the rules should be less harsh against it, or what do you think about that in the NFL, or maybe even in all sports in general, but specifically the NFL right now?
I feel like it should definitely be less harsh in the NFL, considering what type of sport it is. Like even though, because like weed's also just not fully legalized, just as itself, like outside of sports, but like it does have health benefits that people talk about, and like if anybody needs it, it's these big-ass NFL players. They're just running into each other, just head-to-head collision. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I feel like the higher-ups are just kind of just want to control things. And
right.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, if you are, again, the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, these people who are very much against it.
Against it. Sorry, against, I have to call up every geez, voice crack.
It's happened like three times today. What is going on? But maybe it will improve performance on the field. Maybe these guys won't be injured. Obviously, you don't want you know, ambassadors in the NFL. You don't want Tom Brady being injured, right? You know, the NFL league would never want that. Aaron Rodgers, you don't want him being injured. Khalil Mack, you don't want him being injured because those are big time players.
Who even knows? Maybe these top players are like the like loved players. Like what's it like? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Who knows? They might just be smoking the most weed, but because again, everything's a business and it's entertainment. Like they might just it might just be skewed.
Like they're getting away with it, is what you mean.
Yeah, like, because they're bringing in profits. Right. So it's like do whatever.
And then there's a whole scheme on it. I mean, that's actually a really good point. But I think just in general, again, this is a guy, Chris Long, who's been doing it for years, which is why we're having this conversation. He admitted that I think most definitely it's happening to other players in the league. But I just think in general, like you mentioned, it's such a contact sport. I believe it was Brian Urlacher on the radio yesterday said, for most players after week one, they're not in good shape after week one.
Right.
So, obviously, there's better ways to go about it, but if for certain people, weed is the way to go to make your muscles heal, to make you feel less injured, I think, I don't know how you can just say, you know, this you can't be doing it, but obviously, it's not legal, you know, law-wise throughout the United States. But hey, if that starts to become a thing...
maybe that's why, because, like, again, these teams are from all different states and stuff, so maybe that's why it's so strict, because it's, like, it's gonna be hard to regulate in all different teams if, like, in one state it's legal, state it's not, but I don't know. Me, personally, I feel like it should be less harsh because of just, again, the type of sport it is, just, I don't know, like, I feel like...
Like, in basketball... You're not banging yourself around. Sure, you're getting tired. Your legs might be sore, but there's more of a reason to do it in the NFL, again, for those reasons, because you're getting bruised up.
In basketball, you're not trying to run through a man like, what's his name? Was it Richard Sherman, the other one with dreads, Marshawn Lynch. You're not trying to run through a man over and over and over and over and over again. But the NFL, it's just it's something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe even do they smoke in the NHL?
I was thinking about that, too. They get hit around a little bit in the NHL, too. I don't know.
These high contact sports,
I don't know. It's a little sketchy, so... Mm-hmm. Interesting. I just thought that was an interesting topic because he came out and, you know, this guy who has played 13, 12 years in the NFL never got caught for it. So you could definitely raise a question that could be happening in other areas around the league. So we're going to go into our last conversation now. My guy Nate here is a rapper. We'll get into that a little bit later. He's going to tell you a little bit about it. But there's plenty of rappers in the NBA. We have Lonzo Ball, who released a mixtape about a few months ago. Damian Lillard, who has released a few mixtapes. Allen Iverson has apparently made some raps. Shaq. Who goes by the name Diesel, he's going to be on Lollapalooza. So if you want to see Shaq get some raps on, go to Lollapalooza. But, here we are sponsoring Lollapalooza.
But ain't nobody trying to be in the mosh with Shaq.
Apparently at Coachella, he was out there in the mosh pit.
Yeah, nah. Oh, imagine being in the mosh with Shaq and he loses his balance. No, it's your life.
It's going to be like a bowling pin. Like the whole crowd is going to fall over. Once Shaq falls over, it's like a domino effect. The whole crowd is just going to start falling as well. So we also have Andre Drummond, who has some music videos out there. Stuff so
Shumpert,
all of these trash rappers who are NBA rappers,
league.
Which one you think is the best of these?
So I don't know. It's not like I'm bumping any of these players on the regular list. They're definitely not in my Apple Music playlist. But I don't know, like especially with rap, like I'd say because. Listening to Lonzo's stuff is kind of like he's a younger player, like, and then just like with how music is now, it's more like trap and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, I'd say he's got some bops. I wouldn't personally just put it on myself, but like if it came up, like they have like good beats and stuff.
Sure.
But when it comes to like rapping, Damian Lillard, he's been on, I'm not sure if anybody's heard of Sway in the Morning. It's a really popular radio show, and they have a YouTube channel, but he's been on that, and that channel's known for having rappers go on, it's called the Five Fingers of Death.
Okay.
They freestyle, they throw on different beats and freestyle. He's been on it, and
he's done well.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just like also like where he's from. He's from Oakland, so he's kind of got that old school feel.
Sure,
yeah. And then like a lot of these players, like unlike Lonzo, came up in Chino Hills in California. Damian Lillard's out of Oakland.
Yeah,
and so Longo, but original, I don't know. Personally, me, I would bump Lonzo's stuff before Damian Lillard, but I'd say Damian Lillard's the better rapper.
So as far as music goes, he's saying Lonzo's music is better because of the beats.
And, even though he's not BBB anymore.
That whole, I don't even know what happened with that whole thing. But so you're saying Dame is fire on the court and on the mic.
Yeah. No, so. Definitely. And Dame's definitely got him. Yeah, if we add we take them two into account, those two factors. But, yeah.
So that, who knows, maybe some other guys will come out with some mixtapes in the NBA, but it's certainly seeming to be more of a trend now that now people are doing it. But
there was Rapper Go to the League. That was, you know, that was 2 Chainz' album. It was LeBron helped produce it.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. LeBron did help produce that. And he actually missed the game the next day because apparently he was up late producing the album. I actually brought that up in a podcast 3 months ago because I was saying LeBron was lazy because he was missing games. It was 2 Chainz' album. But there's always been kind of a connection between the NBA and rapping, you know.
That's why it was Rapper Go to the League. Exactly. It's like NBA players want to rap and rappers want to be in the NBA.
Exactly. I mean, they talk about it all the time, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Kobe, whether it's MJ, you know, those types of players, those, you know, all these NBA things are always prevalent and plenty of rap songs. So there's always been that underlying connection. And now it's, you know, instead of the rapping and NBA connections, the other way around when the NBA players are trying to rap. So,
I think part of it too is just kind of the culture. Mm-hmm. It's just a similar culture because like a lot of the stories of like these rappers and these NBA players, they're like similar. You hear it from NBA players when they're doing the interviews, but you hear it rappers in their songs. But a lot of them came out of like, they're coming out like a tough situation.
Tough early life and stuff. That's a great point. So similar backgrounds, similar history, so they can relate in those ways. So that just about does it. But my boy Nate here has been producing some music. So they call him Lil Confused, a.k.a. Neon Slide. So he's going to be releasing a mixtape on SoundCloud, maybe some other platforms pretty soon. So you want to tell him a little bit about that so we can get it out there?
Yeah, so, man, I'm just doing both. Like, I'm making music. I do comedy. So
yeah.
A Lil Confused is really kind of, it's kind of just like me as a whole, but that's definitely the comedy side because nothing makes sense to me in my head. Neon Slides, that's what I rock every day. That's what I rock to steal your auntie. I'll have music coming out definitely this summer. I'll be featured on another album, Flow 1810. That's a collective out in Boston. I'll be featured on there. You know my verses are the hardest verses. But no, if you want to like find me on Instagram. It's neon_confused.
Neon_confused.
And you can catch me also just all around Chicago doing stand-up.
So my guy here, very talented, one of the funniest guys I know. So if you want to hit me up about that.
He said one of the funniest guys, man.
All right, who's the funniest
other?
Guy.
No, who's the other one? Nah, dude, I got to square up.
I don't have a name, so I just said that just to, like, it just flowed better. But, you know, this is honestly probably the funniest guy I know. So if anyone listening to this wants to hear about one of this guy's comedy shows, I could definitely hit you up with that. And like you said, Neon_confused. Follow that on Instagram if you want to hear some of his music coming out late in August. So, Nate, it was good to have you on here. Heck of a time. Thanks for the laughs.
Appreciate
great opinions
it.
on all things NBA and a few other things. So, that was awesome, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, nah, thanks for having me. I was so excited to do this. Talk sports. Yeah. Plug myself a little bit.
Of culture action. Yeah, there you go. So that's what I liked about this one too. You know, we brought in the culture aspect as well. Again, we talked a little bit about rapping, a little bit about a few other culture things, which is awesome to do because, you know, a lot of the sports world nowadays is outside the lines now. It's what's going on social media, what's going on in the players' lives, and it's not necessarily everything that's going on the court or the field. So I think that's really cool. So again, thanks for coming on, Nate. This was awesome. This is another episode of the Lapkin Tie Podcast. We'll be back next week with another guest, most likely. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great rest of your week.